This morning we're continuing in our sermon series, The Crossing. So glad to have each one of you here today, and happy Father's Day to our dads. It's good to come together and worship our Heavenly Father this morning. And even though we are not perfect, and all of us dads would say we're the first to admit that, we know that our Father looks at us in love and says, I believe in you. And I'm thankful for that this morning. So we're continuing in our series called The Crossing. And I forgot to tell you, I wasn't here last week. Amy Jo did a wonderful job preaching about when God calls. But I left it wide open. Why did the chicken cross the road? I left that hanging right out there. I told you that I would come back to it, and then I realized I never did. I'm sorry for the cliffhanger. You think, I'm sure, you know what the answer is, and you probably do. I preached an entire message on why did the chicken cross the road, and then left you hanging in midair, not knowing what the true answer was, or thinking you might know what it was, but weren't sure, didn't want to say it, and all that. Let me give you the answer this morning. Why did the chicken cross the road? That's good, but no, that's not what I'm thinking. That actually, I had somebody at Lost Lake say that too, and they actually sat through my message and got the whole story and everything. Why did the chicken cross the road? Well, have you ever had chickens? You remember me telling the story about when you let the gate open, they all just go everywhere and they fly and take off and just go to scratching and have a wonderful life. Why did the chicken cross the road? Because he was free. Yeah, there's the answer. So this morning, we're talking about God releasing the Israelites from the captivity of the Egyptians. The sermon series is called The Crossing. God bringing the children of Israel through the desert, and today through the Red Sea. In the first half of Exodus, we see God saving them out of the land of Egypt. Then God spends the second half of Exodus getting the land of Egypt out of them. Such is the story of God's full salvation. God not only changes our citizenship, He changes you and me from the inside out completely. Us in every aspect. So last week, take your shoes off, Moses. You're on holy ground. Realizing that the times in my life that I have sensed God's presence the most are the times when I realize my need is the greatest. Such is the case of Moses when he was on the far side of the desert. Remember how he got there? He got there because he had killed an Egyptian taskmaster, and he realized that even the plans that God had for him, it seemed like, were now tossed aside. And he would spend the rest of his life tending sheep on the far side of the desert. And then God began to get his attention. Set a bush on fire that didn't burn up. And it caught Moses' attention, and he went over to look at it. And as he went over to look at it, he heard a voice from inside the bush, "Take your shoes off, Moses. You're on holy ground. I have a mission for you to fulfill." I've realized that the holy moments in our lives happen when we are most aware of our great need of Him and most aware of God's presence with us. You've had experiences, I'm sure, that have challenged and have caused you to think deeply about life and deeply about what's the nature of our existence. I'm sure Moses was experiencing that as he was in the desert and wondering what God could possibly do with him after having made the mistakes that he did. Today, talking about God bringing His children of Israel out of Egypt and to a natural barrier called the Red Sea when God delivers. A little boy came back from Sunday school one morning and asked his father, "You want to know what I learned in Sunday school?" "Well, sure. What did you learn?" he said. The little boy replied, "How the people of Israel were kept in Egypt and were used as slaves by this guy called Pharaoh." "Oh," said the father, "what happened?" The little boy went on, "This guy named Moses tried all these special effects on them. It was really wicked. He turned the river to blood and he covered the Egyptians with frogs and bugs and boils and he beat them down with hailstones and locusts and scared them with an eclipse of the sun, and then he started killing their cattle, and then finally he even put to death their oldest kids." "Well, did it work?" Dad said. "Well, Pharaoh did let him go after the kids were put to death, but then he sent his army after them." "And then what?" "Well, Moses calls in the Israeli Air Force, and they bombed the Egyptian tanks and destroyed them on the ground. They also gave cover while the engineers laid down this pontoon bridge across the Red Sea, and then the people of Israel crossed over without even getting their feet wet. But when the Egyptian army got on the pontoon bridge, the Israeli Air Force came in again and bombed and blew up the pontoon, and all the Egyptians drowned." "Wow, is that what your teacher told you?" his father replied. "Well, not exactly, but if I told you what she told me, you'd never believe it." So what is the story all about? It's about deliverance by God's hand. Not only deliverance from bondage, but the deliverance from the mindset of bondage. Not just a change of citizenship from Egyptian to promised land, but deliverance from the hurts and hang-ups and habits that they had incurred while they were living in Egypt. They picked up some stuff while they were in captivity that God said, I need to cleanse you from these things. They're harmful. They're detrimental to your soul. It's about moving forward in faith and trust and obedience to God's word. So Exodus, if you have your Bibles and would like to turn to Exodus chapter 14, I'll be reading verses 10 through 31. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and there were Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die here in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm. You will see the deliverance of the Lord that he will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved in front of them and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other. So neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of the chariots so that they had difficulty driving, and the Egyptians said, "Let us get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and their horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and the horsemen, and the entire army of Pharaoh that followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. God had called the founder of the Israelite nation, the father Abraham, into Canaan land about 2000 BC to go in and settle in the land of Canaan, also known as the Promised Land. But times got difficult there. If you recall, they experienced a severe drought. And so they moved to Egypt in order to access the grain houses full of stored grain and water. Now they multiplied greatly, the Bible says, but at the same time they were subdued into slavery by the Egyptians. Ended up being slaves for 430 years. Until Moses arrived on the scene. God called Moses to be the deliverer. So we remember that Moses went to Pharaoh and just boldly said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh laughed. So Moses went back to God. And we remember the 10 plagues that plagued the Egyptians: the blood, the frogs, the gnats, the flies, the livestock being put to death, the darkness, the hail, the boils, and finally culminating with the death of every firstborn Egyptian, the 10th plague. Pharaoh had enough, and he allowed the Israelites to go after 430 years. Once the Israelites had left, as with all tyrants, they reconsider what they have just done. And Pharaoh had second thoughts, and he went in after. He gathered his army to pursue the Israelites with total annihilation. Today we find the Israelites in a serious dilemma. I sounded better in the office when I was writing it, but it still came out pretty good. Came out better here than it did over there. Serious dilemma. They were between the sea and a seriously big problem, a powerful army. They were between a fanatic king and a step of faith. In front of them was the seemingly impassable Red Sea, and behind them were the Egyptians. What were they going to do? Now, we know, because we know how the story ends, that God provided a way out of their dilemma. But we also realize, if we think about it, they had to take steps of faith too. They had to trust that the ground over which they were going to pass was safe. As the sea rolled back, they had two choices: to stay where they were and be killed or maybe taken back to slavery, or to go where they've never been before and do what they've never experienced before and trust that what is in front of them is of God. I mean, that's a big step. Have you ever been there? Now, maybe not an Egyptian army chasing you and the Red Sea in front of you, but, of course, life does present us with its share of dilemmas. It can be as simple as a job change or a diet change for us. We either stay with the past and try to brave it out, or we move forward in faith. It can be about life lessons of consistency and faithfulness when the going gets tough. It can be about giving up and surrendering, or it can be about rising up and moving forward. I got a phone call from our former district superintendent, Dr. Crawford Howell, this week, Friday. They're in their 70s and just having some hard times. We pray for them every Wednesday night. And I ask how Sylvia's doing, and she shared that she's experiencing a lot of back problems. Her spine is shrinking, and it's causing shortness of breath, and there's other things going on. And Crawford, of course, has had two cornea transplants and is constantly going under tests to make sure that that's going well and not his body not rejecting them. And I got to thinking, you know, every chapter in life has its challenges. Now, he's moving forward. I'm always encouraged when I talk to Crawford because he wants to know about relationships and he wants to know about who's getting saved and how the churches are doing. And he said he's discipling right now a 66-year-old goat farmer, and it's little bitty steps at a time, little steps at a time, but he has come to Christ and he's learning. And I got to thinking, you know, no matter where we're at, we're always going to face a new set of challenges. If not today, not very far away. So I wonder today, are you facing anything that is an incredible challenge? Something that you look at and you think, this ought to be easy. I mean, there's people telling me that it's safe, that it's the right thing to do, but I look at that and I've never been there before. It's, to me, scary. It's terrifying. And we're faced with this decision. Should I stay and be chained down to the past, or should I move forward? The African impala can jump to a height of over 10 feet and cover a distance of 30 feet when it jumps. Amazing. That's big. 30 feet is like from here to that window. Yet these magnificent creatures can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo with a 3-foot wall. The animals will not jump if they can't see where their feet are going to land. And as a result, 3 feet can keep these incredible animals in bondage, in captivity. So what is God saying to you today about the faith, about questioning about where your feet are going to land if you do this thing, if you take this jump, if you make this leap? like the Israelites at the Red Sea, we will go through times of trial and crisis. Times when things get really difficult, and we look at the two options that we have, and neither one look like they're going to be, I mean, both of them have risk to stay where we were. At least the Israelites remember, and the Bible says in Acts that their hearts turned back to Egypt because they were afraid to go forward. But moving forward is the only way of faith. At these times, God will show us the way forward one step at a time. We won't see maybe what the end result is, and we may not see the end of the tunnel, but God is calling us forward. And on the authority of God's word, we have every reason to be optimistic in whatever challenge we're facing personally this morning. We have every reason to be optimistic because we know that God is faithful. The question is this: are you prepared to move forward with Christ? Or will you look back wishing that life wasn't so hard, and even returning to slavery is kind of looking like it may even be a possible option right now? You see, Scripture says in Acts chapter 9, as Stephen is sharing his message about before, as they were dragging him off to be stoned, he said, "Our fathers refused to obey him, Moses. Instead, they rejected him, and their hearts turned back to Egypt." Now, this is a little later when they were faced with crossing the line into Canaan land, and they were terrified. We're going to talk about it next week. They were terrified because of the giants in the land, and they felt like grasshoppers in the eyes of the giants. But this applies to this portion as well. They actually looked at Moses and said, "Why in the world did you bring us out here? It would have been better for us to have remained slaves back in Egypt. Were there no graves in Egypt that you could bury us? And here we are out here in the middle of the desert." Well, following Christ is all about stepping forward in faith. I wonder how the Israelites felt when they saw the water amassed up on both sides. I wonder, did they wonder if the ground would be hard enough to hold them up as they went through? It's one thing for a dad to go through by himself. It's another thing for the dad to step into that seabed and in the midst of all the people, wave his family to come on ahead. As the fathers led their families, as the fathers led their children. Did they wonder if they'd all sink in the mud? It would be rational to think that they would. Did they wonder if the sea would really stay rolled up? Well, it's not rational to think that it would stay rolled up like that. But then again, seeing God open the sea before you is not rational either. Did they wonder, will it remain rolled up for the Egyptians as well? You see, we know how the story ends, but they didn't. They had to exercise faith. As they took those first steps. When faced with a dilemma, a question, a choice, with the decision about staying where we are or moving forward, what's the first step? Well, number one, know God and His heart and hear His voice. Know God and his heart and hear his voice. You see, when we walk with the Lord daily in our lives, we will begin to hear his voice and understand his heart. Spending time in his presence, we're filled with courage because we realize we're not walking in this path because of our choice. Well, we are, but God is in this. And as we understand his heart and understand his words and understand his voice, we realize, yes, we have a choice of obedience to move into this unknown, this great unknown. But if God is in it, he will be with us. Amen. The more we walk with the Lord and spend time with him and his word, the less daunting the prospect of crossing our Red Sea today will be. Why? Because we'll begin to understand his character more. We realize how faithful he is, and that the daunting problems that we face, we do not face alone. Second is stretch out your staff. Stretch out your staff. Exodus 4:17. Moses was given a staff. And God said, take this staff in your hand so that you can perform miraculous signs with it. Don't you wish you had a staff? Man, what I could... Brad's got a staff. The things that Brad can do with his staff. Well, not really. It's just a piece of wood. But so was Moses' staff. Nothing magical about it. Just a piece of wood. But God said, Moses, take the staff that you have in your hand and stretch it out. Take this staff in your hand so that you can perform miraculous signs with it. Moses had a staff. But it really wasn't about the staff. It was about what Moses had in his hands that he was willing to stretch out and give to God. What has God given you? Well, he's given us all at least a little bit of money. Remember when we started this past 2018 in January, declaring that this would be a year of blessing. Jeanette and I have been praying, Lord, open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on us that we cannot contain. You see, as we stretch forth, as we stretch out and give everything we have to God. Now let's think about it. Money, what is it? It's just paper. It's not the money. God says, stretch it forth, stretch it to me, and see what I will do with it. Give it to me. Let it be a symbol of your faith. Stretch forth your staff. Stretch forth the resources that you have so that the Lord will bless your handling of it. It's just a house, it's just a car. But God says, stretch it forth to me. And when you do, I will bless your handling of it. And miracles will happen. Whatever it is, stretch it out so God can bless your handling of it. Business, job, car, your future, your hopes and dreams, your children, your parents, your grandparents, stretch it out. It's a symbol of your faith. Stretch that out, give it to God, and he will bless your handling of it. Number three and finally, follow in trust and obedience. This is a no-brainer, right? The third point, you had to take steps. But the reality is sometimes fear has us tied to the past. And we're so scared to move ahead. Fear has us chained to the past. A fear rises up when we think about committing to a different future than we've ever known before. A fear may rise up in us when we think about the unknown. I've never walked there before. What will it mean for me and my family? What will it mean for my future if I actually walk there? God says, test me in this and see if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing for you that you cannot contain it. Stretch forth and walk there. See if I won't, God said. But I've never done that before. Neither had the children of Israel walked through the Red Sea before. But with God as our leader and Moses as our guide, God said, come on, let's go. And Moses said, come on, everybody, let's go. Okay, let's go. What crossing are you contemplating today? Obviously, we don't have an Egyptian army pursuing us this morning, thank God. And neither do we have to cross the Rock River without the bridge. But you're looking at some kind of crossing today. I know you are because, I mean, at least for me, every day involves challenges, some great big ones and some littler ones. But every day God's saying, will you walk with me in the path that I have made for you? Well, just some encouragement. Thinking about it is not going to take care of it. Because the Egyptian army is not going to wait for you to come to total resolution about the risk that you're facing. Time's not going to wait. Thinking about it is not action. I want to invite you to move ahead in action today. See, I think that's the problem sometimes with sermons, is we can come away with a great message, and I even get handshakes at the door that says, great sermon, Pastor. But I haven't called you to action. I'm going to today, because we got a cross. All right. If it's tithing, take action. Cross over. If it's a need to ask for forgiveness or to grant forgiveness, take action. Cross over. If it's a need to forgive yourself, take action. Cross over. If it's a need to make a serious life or career change, take action. Cross over. If it's a need to let go of some resentments, take action. Cross over. Move ahead in freedom. If it's a need to step out and step up in fulfilling a promise, take action and cross over. If it's a need to serve others, take action and cross over. Why did the chicken cross the road? Because he was free. I know that's deep. But how true. You can cross if you walk in freedom. Say, Pastor, but what about the risk? I don't know what to tell you. Life is about risk, isn't it? It's about moving forward in faith and not sure that we know where our feet are going to land if we jump over that little 3-foot barrier that is in front of us. But God reminds us, I've created you to jump 10 feet at a time in 30-foot span. Now jump, go, cross. Oh, Lord, it's scary. What if? And oh, fear will do that. Fear is a liar. It'll tell you you can't. It'll tell you you shouldn't. It'll tell you, it'll create every deepest, darkest scenario that it can. But we can't live by the past. We got to live forward in faith. Amen? Next week, this is probably my favorite passage of Scripture that we will cover during this series. One of my favorite passages in all the Bible. The Minority Report. It's the story of coming up to Kadesh Barnea and Joshua sending in the 12 spies. And 10 of them came back saying, oh my goodness, it's exactly what you told us it would be. But we can't do that. There are giants there. We seemed like grasshoppers in their sight. But Joshua and Caleb said, it is everything that Moses said it would be. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And these guys are right, except that we should do this because God has promised us this land. Amen? And we should do it. We're going to talk more about the Minority Report next week. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? Worship team, would you come as we prepare? Lord God, we thank you today that you are a God that moves us forward. That in our, even in our fear, you encourage us that fear is not our Lord, that you are, and that all things are possible through you. So, Lord, as you open the way before us, help us to have faith to walk in the way. I don't know, Lord, how you have applied this message to each of us this morning, but I know that you have. And I know that you're faithful. And this morning, Lord, together, we affirm that you have given us a new path to walk. Now help us walk it, we pray. Help us rise up in obedience and faith and take action this morning in moving ahead and not letting the fear of the future tie us down. On the authority of your word, Lord, we will move ahead in Jesus' name. Amen.
And dreams and all my fears, I will trust in you in everything, in everything. I will look up, for there is none above you. I will bow down to tell you that I need you, Jesus, Lord of all. Jesus, Lord of all.
I will take you at your word.
Jesus, you have taken hold of me. All my life is in your hands. You are my strength. You are my strength. I will look up, for there is none above you. I will bow down to tell you that I need you, Jesus, Lord of all. I will look back and see that you are faithful. I will proclaim, believing you are able, Jesus, Lord of all. Jesus, Lord of all.
Prince of Peace, perfect healer, all my life,
all my cares on you, King of Kings, mighty Savior, all my life, all my cares on you, Prince of Peace, perfect healer, all my life, all my cares on you, King of Kings, mighty Savior, all my life, all my cares on you. I will look up, for there is none above you. I will bow down to tell you that I need you, Jesus, Lord of all. I will look back and see that you are faithful. I look ahead, believing you are able, Jesus, Lord of all. Jesus, Lord of all. Jesus, Lord of all. Jesus, Lord of all.
Steve, how did you pick that song?
I did. Renata did.
Amazing. Good job. That was so perfect for the sermon. Did you know what I was preaching on? I will look back and see that you're faithful. I'll look ahead and see that you are able.
Yeah.
See? God's in control. He's got this. Amen. All right. Vacation Bible School at Lost Lake, July 8th through the 12th from 5 to 8. If you know kids or would like to be a part in staffing that event, you're sure welcome. They'll be starting at 5 o'clock in those evenings with a dinner, and it'll start, then the BBS will actually start at 6 p.m. for the pre-K through 6th grade. If you're interested in helping, talk to Jeanette, and you can register kids online at lostlake.org. July 15th, we'll be joining Lost Lake for a baptism and picnic if you'd like to attend or would like to be baptized. Come talk to me. Of course, that means that you've accepted Jesus into your heart and you're really ready to follow him in the steps of believer's baptism. But I'd like to talk with you if you're interested in being baptized that day. I want to thank you for everyone who donated and purchased baked goods for District Teen Camp. $230 were raised for Teen Camp. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. And I know for sure that Joey is registered, Carter's registered, Skylar's registered. Praise the Lord! Wonderful! Oh, they're going to have a great time. The Well, Fighting Hunger, Feeding Wellness, is a partnership with KSB and Lost Lake and takes place every Tuesday and Thursday evening from 5:30 to 6:30. The Well provides a restaurant-style dining experience for anyone who may be experiencing a food insecurity, and it's free of charge. The Well functions to promote life and health and wellness in our community by focusing on relationships and physical health. If you're interested in volunteering, talk to Tracy for more information. And we'll set up this morning for the well, so we'll take our brown chairs and we'll put them up against that wall, and we'll move all these center chairs forward, straight forward, and we'll set up 8 tables. These chairs over here can be set up along that wall right over there. It would be wonderful. All right, that's all I have.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
God bless you guys. You are dismissed.
Happy Father's Day.